Hello and welcome to the Butts to Nuts podcast. Oh shit, I forgot the intro.
You forgot it.
I'm Ben Charlesworth. This is a movie review podcast.
You fucked it up. Okay. Hello. Welcome to Butts to Nuts podcast. This is a movie review podcast.
Hosted by me, Ben Charlesworth.
Scott Charlesworth, and my brother Ben Charlesworth. Coming to you
Scott,
live from
how
our
are you
back
going?
Room.
No, that's.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Butts to Nuts, a movie review podcast. Hosted by me, Ben Charlesworth, and my brother Scott Charlesworth. Scott, how are you feeling after the movie? There we go.
Now you get it.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've done one of these. We've been going into the Reserve Bank.
It's been a bit of a riff of a couple of weeks. We've been riffing. It's been crazy. Ben's been sick with the flu.
He had the
legit flu, not just the, oh, I got a cold, I don't feel so well, I have the flu. No, he actually had the flu and couldn't get out of bed.
It was something. Yeah, that is true. A lot of people used to say that, I've got a bit of a cough. I think I got the flu. Mate, listen here.
Shut the fuck up.
All right.
Go sip some Dimetapp.
Bruce, we love you, but come on, mate.
You know, suck on some Listerine and we're gone in the morning.
Have a Strepsil.
You'll be right.
Yeah, come on, mate. Bruce, we love you, but come on, mate.
Yeah, come on, mate. You're just clutching our straws here.
Mm.
Yeah, it's been a crazy 2 weeks, and I procrastinated a lot, and that's all right, slowed things.
We don't want to get into any dramas here.
We want to keep it light.
That's all right. We're readjusting. We fell off the rails a bit, but we're readjusting. We're coming back into it.
We went to rehab.
Numbers are still going all right. Did you see the TikTok? It went all right.
We got
a few likes there, so you know.
But in the end, it's not about the numbers.
Yes, it is.
About the boys who do it.
I'm here for the money. I'm a businessman.
We want a sponsor.
We want to be sponsored by Nivea. Yeah, we want to be sponsored by Nivea, sir, but
or some toy company like Hasbro or Toys R Us.
I reckon Mattel. I'm more of a Mattel kind of guy.
I'm more of a Tonka kind of guy. I reckon they would be a good sponsor.
Hey, well,
do kids even play with Tonka anymore?
I don't know, mate. You're bloody slapping your Tonka all over the place.
I am, actually. I'm a little bit of a Tonka boy.
For the past 2 weeks, you've just been Tonking around. I'm going, mate, well, go on.
Speaking of Tonka, because there are Tonka trucks in this movie.
Are they specifically Tonka brand?
Yes, they are.
Are they specifically Tonka brand, though?
Cannot confirm. But we did watch the absolute masterpiece that is Toy Story 3 today.
I mean, as keen listeners know, we've been working our way through this amazing franchise.
It's quite obvious what we're doing here.
We probably should have established that at number one. But we established that at number three because we're keeping you teased.
That's
right.
You know, you're on the edge of your seats here. But we did watch Toy Story 3 today. And as Ben said, you know, it was definitely a trip back to seeing just how good it was. We didn't realize how good it was.
Well, you hear a lot of people say that this one's the worst one, or at least they used to say. I've heard a few
back things. It's because it was the newer one at the time.
Yeah.
But going back to it, no way. This is like the perfect fit. It should be the perfect ending to a great trilogy.
Yeah, and that's why we're going to take a week break from this franchise. We're going to hurt ourselves, and then we're going to get back into it and
be like, okay,
now we're on this part of Toy Story.
Yeah.
And then we'll watch Lightyear when it comes out, fresh from the cinemas.
Ah, that's a little tease for you, listeners.
Tease,
you know?
You can see what we're doing here.
Yeah, we're building up to the new release of Lightyear.
But I think this makes the whole franchise perfect. Like that, it's just that trilogy. It brings every other movie up, and itself is so high as well. I think it's...
Exactly. Even though that it's... You know, actually, one thing that I really like about this movie that does that so well is the time skip.
Yes.
The fact that we've grown up and there's been all these other Pixar movies in between, right? For perspective, you've had Nemo, Incredibles, whatever, Cars. They've all come. And then now we're getting Toy Story 3 when I was probably like 12 or 13 years old, maybe. No, probably like 11.
I know. Email in.
Try and guess what age I was. Anyways, that was a time, you know, when you're kind of like growing up a little bit, but I was still a kid. And, you know, this was really special when this came out. I remember going to the cinemas with Nana and seeing it.
But you know, I think it's more special now as adults now. It hits a lot harder.
It's a lot more relatable, and I feel like it really is the Toy Story movie for the adults. Because remember, the original Toy Story came out in 1995, so it's for that
correct
audience.
Yeah,
it's for that audience.
He's on the ball, guys.
Grew up. Yeah, I know, mate.
And when did this come out?
This came out in bloody when the fuck did it come out?
Wait, time's ticking.
Was it 2000? I'm all right, okay. I'm thinking like 2012.
12? You're saying 11?
2011.
All right, you got to lock it in?
It's wrong. I can see it in your face.
Are you?
No, it's 2010.
Correct.
2010.
He's got it.
Yeah, mate.
Nice.
Oh.
Good job, mate. I'm bloody proud of you, Daisy.
I can feel she it.
She loved
my
you.
Daisy? She loved you.
I'm going to get straight into it, get the right meat and potatoes.
Please do, man. Please do.
I loved it when Woody's like, everybody come down one at a time. And then Ham just hears, everybody come down together, and they all just go down. That's like the Toy Story humor that we've heard throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's stuff that contradicts itself, or, you know, just the characters misinterpreting things that Woody says and all that sort of stuff. Oh, man, it's just beautiful. It's the gang getting together and they're going on their last adventure. Well, quotation marks.
Speaking of
gang,
I don't want to get too political here. We are, strictly speaking, just, you know, very middle ground podcast.
Yeah.
Are they Bloods or Crips?
Oh, damn. You know, that's a hard one to say. But, you know, you do see the red bandana on Woody's neck, so they are Bloods.
Good answer, correct.
Yeah, that's true.
Two for two.
And also Barbie as well. She has the red hair tie thing. Yep.
Jessie's got a bit of red.
That's right. They are Bloods.
They're Bloods.
It's confirmed.
I know the fans were wanting to know that, and I'm glad that we've clarified. This movie had such great emotion. I love the theme of, you know, dealing with Andy moving on from the toys. And then, you know, that start transition from the awesome start to then them in the little, what is it, a toy chest or...
Yeah, the toy chest. The original toy chest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
Andy's special chest where he keeps all of the toys.
Yeah. It keeps every toy.
Every single toy that's left.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. How about that? Woody goes, all right, staff meeting. Everyone gets together. It's like, gather around. Everyone is here and this is everyone, Slinky says.
Yeah, that's like... And this is why Toy Story 4, I think, shouldn't exist, because it's like Bo Peep's gone and that just adds to the emotion. We never get to see her again.
It pissed
me off as a kid because I was like, oh, where's Bo? But now I understand. It's like, oh.
It's so heartbreaking. And they mention her and they talk about her.
I mean, like, more importantly, Wheezy's gone. And rest in peace, brother, you know.
Wheezy was a G.
Yeah, oh, man.
So cool.
I just wanted to weasel on him.
Yeah. Okay.
I wanted to clean his dust out.
But the emotion of dealing with these things, though, like letting go and losing close loved ones too, that's basically what it's it's what it's like symbolizing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Basically, like the close ones to them, the rest of the family, they're gone. That's just the core people left. And that's hard to watch.
I think as well...
It's hardcore, man.
Yeah, that it
brings
a tear
to my eye.
It does get super deep. And I think that instant contrast from the awesome opening, which pays homage to the first movie.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's basically...
Whilst adding the new characters.
That's right. It's the same play story, but just with Jesse and Buzz and Bullseye in it as well, with the aliens.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's beautiful. It's so cool.
Here's a hot question for you.
Hit me with that hot question. I want this spice right now.
Do you like this opening better or Toy Story 2?
Oh, man.
I know.
Oh, this opening.
You reckon?
This opening's better than Toy Story 2.
Yeah.
Because even though the Buzz opening is very, very cool, this has another level because it is attached to the first opening, the first Toy Story opening.
It's deep.
That's the deepness that you want, and it's connecting you back to that very first movie straight away. And you're re-feeling those feelings, but you're in the brain of Andy. Like,
yeah.
You're inside his mind, like seeing his imagination. It's beautiful.
Yeah, that's really cool that you got to see it from his perspective. And be exactly. Like, oh, balls. Okay. We're seeing it from his eyes now. And that's as well what made the whole movie feel like, all right, shit, this is going to be like.
Yeah.
That's what made it feel like this is the end.
Yeah.
This is the trilogy. We're capping it off. Once again, saying why Toy Story 4 is unnecessary.
Yeah.
We'll get to it in 2 weeks and I'll be like, oh, okay.
We'll probably say things about we'll it, enjoy but we'll it, say the same thing that we're saying now.
But yeah. I just feel like...
It's just
perfect. You know, the end of this one saying, you know, ending the film, well, technically not the last bit of dialogue, but saying so long, partner, as Andy drives off.
Oh, man.
And he's with Bonnie and that.
Yeah.
We all know that the toys are going to have to go through this again with Bonnie.
But it's just like the cycle renewed and it's just beautiful. Like they're still together and it's the same thing as we were talking about, you know, toys being passed down generations.
Yeah.
With Woody, this is like the next generation to another family.
But there is a huge risk now that they're with Bonnie that they could get split apart.
That's
when
right.
Bonnie grows up.
Because
and the family could go.
They don't know what's going to happen. Like, you know, the future is unpredictable.
There's definitely going to be someone's gone.
Okay, so toys seem to live forever until they're broken in this universe.
Yeah.
It's like, is there any time a point where they're just like, nah, I just don't want to do anything anymore. I've had a good life. See you later. And they just stop existing.
Well, they kind of like tapped into the lore of a toy goes AWOL. Maybe that's kind of sort of. Oh, that's oh, kind
that
of them going
goes
living
into Toy
on...
Story 4. That talks about Toy Story 4.
Because Bo goes AWOL.
Yeah.
But that's just them living on their own, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like they've gone from their true purpose of being entertainment.
Well, what can they do? They can't eat. They can't shit.
Then, and then if they you can't eat and shit, you can't enjoy life.
What's there to life? If you can't eat and you can't shit. You might as well just not exist.
You might as well just die right on the spot. I mean, if I couldn't shit tomorrow, I would be so sad.
Yeah, well, I mean, you shit for half the day.
Yeah,
so
that's part
half
of my
your day
time.
Gone. That's 6 hours of your life gone.
Like,
every
what
single
am I
day.
Gonna do if I can't shit?
If you multiplied that by 7, my God, that'd be a lot of hours.
That would be so many hours.
You'd be shitting. Like, not at all, because you wouldn't be able to shit. That's what we pre-established before, and now I'm referring to what we said before.
Damn, you've got this all figured out, and I'm so glad that I can shit.
But speaking of farting,
yeah.
I want to talk about toy logic a bit more, because Buzz in the garbage truck says, oh, sorry, was that me?
Oh, yeah, that's a bit of a callback to Toy Story 2 when he fart, like, it's the bloopers at the end, and he... Like, one of them farts in the box.
Yeah, but that's not canon.
Yeah, it's not canon.
But does that mean that toys can fart?
It must do.
I also have another logic problem.
The anatomy of toys.
Yeah, I wouldn't say
what's
that,
going on inside.
That's not a logic problem, but I have another point, but I want you to hit me with one and then I'll...
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, I just think the pacing of this movie is literally perfect.
Oh.
As you said before... You mentioned emotion.
Hands down, thumbs up.
It takes us through a perfect balance of suspense, humor, and nostalgia, and adventure.
Mm.
All of those balance perfectly. It is more of a serious movie, obviously. It is more of a sad movie, but there are such good humorous moments. Like, for example, when Mr. Potato Head is like a cucumber. Like when he's a tortilla.
Yeah.
You know, with the pigeon and stuff and like... experimenting like with what they can do as toys further, and the animators with the technology that they have at this time being able to do more creative scenes because they can do that with
this
animation.
Threw their balls to the wall. They went butts to nuts here, all out action.
Bloody self-plug there. Anyways, but
share it to a friend.
The emotion is real, and they do such a good job of making sure it feels as natural as possible, and there is not a moment that feels dull or feels like it shouldn't be there.
Yes.
For me, at least. That's...
Yeah. No, you're right. Everything flows so perfectly. You don't spend too much time at Sunnyside. You don't spend
too much time with one character either.
Yes.
And I liked the little bit of a deviation from Woody, because, like, he's not in this movie all the time. Like, there are some good portions of this movie where he's not.
Yeah.
But when we carry back to Woody, we get the old sense of adventure.
Yeah.
Like... from 1 and 2 with Buzz going out with the boys on the road and stuff. Like, that adventure is just a solo Woody adventure now.
Mm.
But then he discovers the toys at Bonnie's house and whatever. But that sort of thing is what I like. The balance between the two sections and the changing environments and stuff, it all feeds into the perfect pacing and the balance.
And Woody could have just been greedy and stayed at Bonnie's and left them at Sunnyside.
He could have got sucked up into the moment and just been like, nah, fuck them, you know?
I mean, I would have. Come on.
Yeah. If you had the opportunity.
They were going to ditch you. They were going to... They didn't believe you about the attic. Bro, just leave them.
Yeah, get out of there.
Leave.
You tried to save them and they said no.
They're not true friends, all right?
Just get out of there while you can.
You should only have a friend in yourself.
Do a Lotso and...
Be a Sigma.
Be a Sigma and be a Lotso.
Not a little Woody bitch. Yeah, exactly. Lotso's a Sigma. His origin story makes him a Sigma.
Oh my God.
Don't so rely deep. On them bitches, man. Andy's probably going to go to college and get some bitches on his dick now. With his yee ass. Was it yee ass haircut? Go get some bitches on your dick.
I wonder if he... Oh no. Okay, I just had the dirty thought that just popped into my head, you know? He's a growing boy. Toys are in the room.
I think he's grown.
He's a grown boy.
He has grown. He might have a bit more growing. Men usually grow till 24, they
what
say.
What if he wanted to flip the sausage out at night and then old Woody just comes along and is like, hey, Andy, holy shit.
No, but they're in the chest.
Yeah, they're in the chest. They're not paying attention.
I think they know. They would hear noises, but they,
No, they would definitely look. They'd be like, oh, Andy's like coming to play with us. And he's like, oh, no, he's playing with his sausage.
He's playing with his
John Thomas.
He's playing with his cucumber again. Oh, no, Mr. Potatoes, pieces are in it. Jesus.
Oh, fuck.
The lips are in the tip.
Wait a second, Bo Peep never left.
It's up Andy's ass. That's fucked. What did you think of... Oh, God. Right, let's steer this podcast let's bring it back in. Just like the start of this movie, the train tracks have been bombed. Yeah. We need to be like Buzz. We need to lift that train up and save the day. Save those little trolls.
Buzz has been working out. He's got those gains.
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Spanish Buzz, what'd you think?
I like it. But I think there's a bit much of it.
Yeah.
I think there's a bit much. I think they should have toned back on Spanish Buzz a bit and cut him back in earlier.
Yes.
I like the progression of him just waking up in the dumpster, but I would have liked it if he saw Woody at the place first.
Yeah.
Before they left and before, like when they were like sliding down and had that big confrontation with Lotso on the rubbish bin, it would have been cool if he was like lucid then.
Because it doesn't give him as much impact for the end. Like, when not... Well, I guess he doesn't not hate Lotso.
He obviously does, but he's been basically in a dream for, like, half the movie.
Yeah, so there wasn't Buzz properly for the whole movie.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't as much proper Buzz.
I really love the callback to the original Buzz, though. Like, the logic behind him being brainwashed is just, like, a little computer chip in his... system sort of thing.
Yeah.
So we were debating this, well, not debating, but like theorizing how this would have been possible in the post episodes. Now we got the answer to that. And like that's why, obviously, because, you know, you can change the controls in there and like customize your own Buzz controls and make it however you want. But yeah, it would have been better if it was less Spanish Buzz. I do love Spanish Buzz, though.
I love Spanish Buzz as well.
When he runs up and does the show-off thing to open the bin, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
great. We got Space Buzz again.
That's what I meant, like, yeah, before.
Yeah, I think...
I think
Spanish Buzz was okay. I think we probably could have gotten
a bit less. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm saying like a tongue twister here. Yeah. We could have got a bit less of, old mate there. Old mate 918 there. I don't think he needed to be included as much.
I think that's my only grievance with this movie.
Your only grievance. Your only tarnish on this sparkling jewel.
It's on these mystical lands.
Ken's dress-up scene was also amazing.
Yeah. Our iconic. And I do love how well they did Barbie and Ken together, because they were just a nice little subplot in this movie.
Ken's such a great addition.
He's fantastic. And when you're introducing new characters this far into the series, especially with a new movie, it can be very risky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to be able to do it right, and they bloody pulled it off with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Ken being conflicted with, you know, wanting to side Lotso because he will get in trouble, he won't be able to stay in his house or whatever, but also seeing the light side with Barbie and stuff. It's just, it was cool, and just him grooving out in the room is such a good change in tone from, like, the sneaky, suspenseful stuff.
Yeah. It just really brings it up. Because this is, like, a lot of people say is a Prison Break movie.
It is a Prison Break movie. Yeah, Shawshank, but for toys.
Yeah, legit.
Yeah, that's so cool.
What was I going to say? Oh, well, you got a point?
Yeah.
Oh, hit me with a point.
The caterpillar room, man.
Oh, I hate that.
That scene does its job. It makes you absolutely hate children. What is happening.
You hate
kids. Just fucking get rid of them.
I'm sick of them.
Yeah.
Why have them?
Teach them to play with toys properly.
Let's end the human race. Stop it at the start.
Get it right or get out. Yeah, so the caterpillar room was fucking brutal. Just disgusting, you know, all the slobber and the paint and the scratching and the absolute ruining of these toys. In real life, obviously, they would be destroyed and broken.
Yeah.
It's just so sad to see objects treated that way.
Yeah, people are just dumb.
We've said it in every movie. Take care of your things.
Yeah, take care of your things.
Don't be a fucking dick about it. Like, I know that these are, you know, two-year-olds playing with stuff, but at the same time, you wouldn't just chuck a 5-plus toy in with a two-year-old. You know, you give them Mobilo or you give them, like, Duplo or something that they can chuck around and not get caught in their faces.
And it shouldn't be Lotso's job to put them in there.
It should be the preschool's
Bonnie's
job.
Bonnie's mum, what is she doing? Taking
like,
toys
oh,
here's and...
some toys. Oh, I wonder where they went. I guess the box just fucking moved.
Yeah, you idiot.
Just, Bonnie's mum, what are you doing?
Like, Jesse and all that don't deserve to be in the butterfly. The caterpillar
room.
That makes sense because a caterpillar comes before a butterfly.
And then there goes into the cocoon, which is the bathroom.
Yeah, Milky Chance writes a song. Oh, fucking... yeah, Milky Chance. Yeah, Milky Chance writes a song. Cocoon. Cocoon. And then they spawn into a butterfly.
Yeah, it's...
And there's no Milky Chance song as of 2022... called Butterfly.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. We may have just predicted something. Come back in 3 years.
I think we've done it.
That would be pretty epic.
That would be pretty, pretty epic. I want to talk about Lotso's story because we have delved into tragedy here and heartbreak, but we have some time for more.
This whole movie is tragedy and heartbreak. That's why I didn't respond as well with some children.
Yeah.
Potentially.
That's it. Man, it's just like... The whole Daisy backstory is like another Jesse and what's her name story, you know,
Emily.
Yeah, it's like it's another one of those, but in a different sort of way. Her forgetting them at the park is like, oh man, she's in like the peak of her playtime sort of era. I forgot her name again. Daisy is at this
point
in the flashback.
She loved you.
In this point in the flashback, she's like at the peak of like, you know, having toys and playing and
she's
stuff
21,
like that.
She's 21, she's clubbing.
That's right. And leaves them at the park. And you know what I really loved about Lotso's character in this was the comparison to Woody. Like it wasn't actually shown, but I just made this link in my brain.
Oh,
very, very similar, like the amount of dedication to go back to the house and find her again. Like, I saw that comparison with Woody, but the only difference is that Lotso obviously snapped because he was replaced.
Yeah.
And that would do anything to, like...
Sorry.
Did you just interrupt my flow with one of your gaseous farts?
I'm keeping it in a cocoon by keeping fucking, my legs I hope sheltered. That fucking doesn't so it's going to hibernate for like 20 minutes. Oh, and then once the podcast disgusting. Is done, I'll let it out.
Oh, God.
Oh. Oh, a little bit's fallen out.
Oh, no.
Just keep going. You were going so well.
Oh, you just ruined my flow. You probably with your couldn't gas,
even
hear man.
That on the mic, bro. Oh, the mic didn't even pick up the fart.
I felt your so now, fart vibrations.
So now you just stopped for no reason.
And anyways. So Lotso seeing that, and then, like, you know, the snap, obviously, you know, the Thanos snap.
All right, now you've lost me a bit. Now you've lost me a bit. You were on a good flow. I'm sorry, okay? My anus was calling.
Your ass is just so distracting sometimes.
Thank you. I tried to let it out silently. I did. I actually did. I didn't think it's actually very warm under my cheeks right now because I'm sure I'm keeping it hibernated.
I'm sure if you cupcaked it, I would still be able to smell it.
Yeah, I'm doing a Milky Chance cocoon.
But and don't it's gonna, cupcake it, though.
It's going to go out as a butterfly.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's just a big caterpillar sitting in my pants right now.
Oh, God. And that's not the first time. No. But yeah, so
it happened to me the other day.
Does it? Yeah, it's just it's heartbreaking, and it makes for a very good antagonist. I would call Lotso a villain because in the end, he doesn't redeem himself like the past villains of the other movies, you know? I think an antagonist, you know, there's no straight definition. It's just the antagonist and there's the protagonist. It's the opposite end, but... he is villainous. He almost redeems himself, but with like not stopping the conveyor belt going when they're about to go to the incinerator in the rubbish dump. That's the moment that he could have become new again.
Yeah.
But that just goes to show that his soul was completely broken that night when he was replaced by Daisy.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him different to Woody. He gave up, Woody doesn't.
That is true. Yeah. That is such a good... point and
different
contrast.
Circumstances, but it's that's the difference. No, but
that's what a contrast is.
You couldn't contrast an apple with an apple.
Yeah.
Unless there were different apples, a green or a red apple.
But the better contrast would be, say, an apple and a plum.
I was going to say orange.
Orange is what I would also say. Because you could contrast the two.
You are a little bit of a plum, aren't you?
Look, all right. You can just fuck right off. I'm sorry, all right? I farted. I referenced Milky Chance's cocoon. I listened to your Lotso analysis, and yeah. I'm sorry I didn't have much to add.
Yeah.
It was too good. You've basically said the perfect piece.
Heartbreaking moment. Another one I have for you.
Here we bloody go.
The moment when in the incinerator and they hold hands, they're just like, you know what? We're going to die here. We might as well be together as a family. And that is just like...
I teared up there.
Yeah.
They did everything. The whole... Like, another theme of this thing is, like, your family's close, man.
Yeah.
And you do, like, whatever. Like, anything for them to just keep them together.
That's right.
The close-knit group, you know, they'll do anything for each other. Woody will do...
beautiful.
And then when Andy says as well, when he's giving the toys to... Bonnie, and he says, "Oh, here's Woody."
"Oh, what is he doing in here?"
And he would do anything for you. He's like one of the loyalist guys, and whatever he says something like, "He'll do it. He'll do anything for you, and he'll always stick by your side."
Yeah,
he's been my best friend forever, or whatever.
Oh, dude, you're making me feel emotional now.
When he said that, I started tearing up. I was like, "Fuck, that's
hardcore."
Yeah, I'm yet to cry in a movie properly. Still, because I'm. You know,
but a tear up is a good...
A tear up is massive for me.
Yeah, especially for you because you're such a hard cunt.
I'm such a hard ass, bro. Yeah,
you're such a tough boy.
I mean, I read cool books made of leather.
Like Mad Magazine.
And Leviticus.
And naughty books.
And naughty books. I read porn magazines because I'm a hard cunt.
And Revelations from the Bible.
No, I don't.
You haven't read that one yet.
Nah. Because I'm hard.
I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Only weak boys read that. Was there dragons in it and angels? More like nerds. Leviticus is where it's at.
Yeah. I half agree.
You half agree?
Yeah.
Mr. Potato Head definitely touched poo.
He definitely did. Oh, there was a couple of Lincoln Logs in there.
Yeah, he definitely touched poo.
Yeah. Ham just looking at Rex is like, oh, I don't think those were Lincoln Logs.
I feel like as well, Mr. Potato got pen on him.
He did.
And yet that, the hose just hosed the ink off.
Yeah, the magical hose just like got rid of all the scratches and the paint from Jesse's hair.
Yeah.
All the scuffs and stuff.
Not a problem, just an observation.
Just an observation. I mean, you wouldn't want Bonnie having filthy toys. Like, she's not going to fucking take those toys.
I'd be pissed if they were filthy as well.
If they were broken, I would just be like, nah, get fucking
like, there
out
was
here.
There was three moments where you could definitely tell something was put in place just to keep the plot moving, yeah. And yet it didn't bother me. Mrs. Potato Head's eye to realize that Andy didn't actually try and throw them out.
Yes, yep.
The aliens walking over to get the claw to save them at the end to get them out of that situation, and the one I mentioned just before.
But none of them were very predictable. You know, and if you're watching this movie the first time, they catch you, and that's great. And you had a third one?
The third one was the one I mentioned at first.
The eye?
No.
Something.
Fuck, we mentioned it. We literally just said it.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you said it.
I said it.
It's in there.
Yeah, wind back.
Go listen
send
back.
Send us an email. Send us a DM.
Leave us a comment, a 5-star review.
Woody's dancing's also weird at the end.
Oh, that was fucking weird.
I don't like his dancing.
I don't like his dance. That makes me laugh, though.
Yeah.
And just ragdoll Woody animation is the best. It's just so
good. How's my levels? I feel like I wasn't talking into the mic that whole time.
You are talking into the mic. I mean, I can just boost you a little bit. It's okay.
I'm directional because I'm probably not as directional as I could be.
Oh, yeah. Keep it there. You're like pretty hot now.
Shit. So sorry.
No, it's fine.
I've
probably
been fucking shit this whole time.
It's been sounding good to me.
Stop it.
Okay. Woody's little escape. The first escape. So smooth.
So
smooth.
That is such a great scene.
He's just such a quick thinker. And with the cleaner, he's like almost got caught. It's like, that's better.
Yeah, shout out to the cleaner. He's probably doing the most work there instead of Bonnie's mum.
Can you imagine that? What he has to clean up? There would be so many shits he would have to clean up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just every cleaner, honestly. But humans don't improve. They just get worse. They progressively get worse to shitting in a sandpit and then to shitting on the toilet seat.
Or like...
at the train station.
Really?
Yeah. Man, there's just...
What? Did you see this the other day?
Oh, well, I've seen it before, but the toilet's always filthy. They've always got, like, crap on the floor and stuff.
And you always come home with brown fingers and you make me lick them. And I'm like, bro, what the hell is this?
Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't have revealed that detail to you.
Mm.
And now you're going to know what it is.
Now I'm never going to do it.
It's not chocolate fudge.
Fuck. It's mocha.
It's mocha fudge.
It's mocha fudge. I think this is an amazing way to cap off the series. It just wraps everything up
and brings a lot
to the table as an individual project. But I think it's as well a capping off piece that really does well.
And a couple of little details as well. I love the imagery of the clouds.
Mm.
You know, at the end when it pans up and it's just the clouds. They're Andy's clouds. It's his room. Or... Andy's now driving his mum's old car.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I didn't even notice that.
You know, just little things like that, you know, just paying attention to detail and keeping it there.
Molly's reading a tween magazine. It's all there.
It's all there.
Man,
she just fucking throws Barbie in that box like nothing.
Yeah, I know.
That's so sad.
Molly's one of those toddlers. She was one of those
toddlers. She was one of those toddlers. Yeah.
She puts slobber on Mr. Potato Head.
She's a different breed.
Yeah, she's not Andy.
No. Andy's where it's at.
Well, Andy's still a step below what we were, I believe.
He's a bit rougher.
He's a bit rougher, but
he's just very... No, I would say he's very dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's putting it in a nice way. But he never damaged them.
All right, you got any final words?
Well, I just want to touch back on the ending.
Yep.
I love how wholesome it is.
Yeah.
I just love how wholesome it is, and it's the passing on of the toys. Obvious, like we've talked about this, but it's such a special thing. And I know, like, you know, you gift something down from a generation, it's just, Yeah, it hits different.
And it's good to see that the mum's actually doing some work this time, weeding. Yeah,
like cleaning up the garden.
Yeah.
Just sitting on the desk.
Accepting toys.
Talking to Andy's mum.
Yeah, come on. What, lady?
Lady.
And then you see...
She has a nice gardening hat, though. I like lovely. That hat.
She's nice. She's nice. Such a nice come person. On. She was actually... She was
she's
nice.
All right. She's
pretty
cool.
I actually did like her.
Yeah,
the dad, on the other hand, didn't see any of him.
What the fuck are you doing, bro?
No, no. We don't know. He was raking something.
He was raking leaves or sticks.
Or toys.
There could have been more toys that we didn't know about.
He was just raking them, throwing them out.
And just pooing on...
On trains.
Toilet seats.
Yep. And pooing for the cleaner to clean up the old man.
Man, this is such a good movie. It's a really, really good movie. And you wouldn't think that with the time gap in between 2 and 3 that they would be able to pull this off. But they bloody did.
11 years.
11 years.
This is a legacy sequel.
It is a legacy sequel. And it's fucking beautiful.
Alrighty, do we...
I think we get into some... what's... I can't remember the order.
Trivia.
Trivia time.
Well, first one. Tom Hanks and Tim Allen insisted that they record their lines together. Usually not a thing they do in animated movies, but... Well, they thought they'd do it themselves.
Actually, a bit of reverse backhand trivia here. I'm pretty sure that the guys on the Batman animated series did that too, like Mark Hamill and...
Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, Kevin Conroy did the same thing. Ooh, at moments and parts, they did that. But that is a very...
And where's your proof?
I've seen it on YouTube.
Do you have the research trivia from IMDb?
The internets have told me. I saw it from a YouTube video.
Their own two eyes?
Yeah.
Wow. For inspiration for the Sunnyside Escape, the Pixar staff watched numerous prison movies.
Yeah,
the
nice.
The director said, there are a lot of prison movies out there, and I think we watched every single one of them.
Did you watch every single one?
Yeah, bullshit. Come on, mate.
Come on, you just watched Shawshank Redemption.
And Escape from Alcatraz, starring Clint Eastwood. We should watch that. We
should actually watch that, because there's a lot of talking and theorizing about that one.
There was one with Robert Redford that I watched once. But I don't think it's a prison escape movie.
We should also watch Blues Brothers, because there's prison in that.
Yeah. I mean, if we were going to get into every movie that has a prison, I think it would be a pretty large list.
Mm. We should also watch the Justice League movie, because that has a prison in it too.
Does it? What's the prison?
There's a prison.
Belle Reve.
The
Belle Reve. There's Rikers Island. I'm pretty
That's
sure.
Marvel.
All right, and then there's Strikers Island in DC.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know which one came first, though, so I can't say.
I think Rikers...
Here's a bloody Marvel stan, mate.
One of the actual prisons in Marvel is real. I think Rikers might be real.
And then there's Strikers Island.
Or there's one of the ones near New York is an actual real prison. Anyways, that's getting off topic, but...
For Big Babies, one line for the entire movie, Mama... The crew had a lot of babies audition, so that was a real baby.
Oh, what?
The baby that was chosen was named Woody.
What?
In fact, director Lee Unkrich joked that this was the reason why they chose the baby. Obviously, it wasn't.
That's weird.
I know. Who the fuck names their child Woody?
We're going to get an actual baby to say. I mean, I guess you're being faithful to everything, but that's so
strange.
What a
stupid name for a baby. Just get...
Poor Woody Harrelson. Poor Woody Harrelson.
As we said before, just don't have any babies. Just end it now. The human race has already gone too far. Let's save this planet. Just stop having babies.
Well, just give it 10 years and then you can keep going after that. Or just stop.
Yep. Or just stop.
Just stop.
Letterboxd review. This one's a bit more wholesome. This whole trilogy, man. This is one trilogy to me that actually got better with every film. Yeah, they're pretty straightforward with no twists or plot complications, but that doesn't matter. What does matter is these movies and everything in them just feels right.
Yeah, that's pretty spot on. I wouldn't say that they get better. I think they stay as good.
I think they all are in the same ballpark.
They're all in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
They expand the story, and of course they get better at doing that, but... Yeah, they're all top tier.
Which could be a tease if you have heard our other two podcasts, which we suggest you listen to before this to go one, two, three. then you'll kind of have a gauge of what Scott's just said, what our score will probably be for this one.
Or you could listen to this one and do all of them in reverse, and that could be interesting.
That could be interesting, but you'd be a bit of a fuckwit to do that. But maybe you are a fuckwit.
And you have to do that.
Right?
Someone out there is going
to do that. Final review by Owl's Meme Barn. Barn. He says, I'm not in this one. Half a star. So respect to Owl.
Yeah,
he's
poor
still out there and he's pissed.
Man, he didn't get to send the toys to Japan and make heaps of money.
Yeah, Owl's Meme Barn. I would have liked to see, I reckon, let's get a Disney Plus show of just Owl and what he's been doing.
Like, he's in crippling debt. He's probably dead at this point because he was selling everything for a buck at the end of two. And yeah, so he probably had to sell his business and he had to sell his apartment and his car. He's living on the street. Then he gets addicted to heroin and just dies.
Actually,
That's the arc of Owl.
That is the arc of Owl.
Yeah.
Our archangel. Actually, speaking of spin-offs that are weird, we'll get to this as well.
Yeah.
But you remember Forky in number four?
I do now.
Yeah, now you remember.
Oh, yeah.
Forky. I wasn't a fan of Forky that much, but we'll see how we go.
We'll see how we go.
Excuse me. They made a spin-off show of Forky on Disney Plus. I remember that. Forky asks a question, and that's technically...
They did do a spin-off of Toy Story 3, though, like a Christmas special or something.
I did a few spin-offs, yeah, but...
Of Forky? Of all characters?
They made a TV show of Forky, yeah.
Well, okay, let's not get too deep into that because I don't want to bring disappointment onto this.
I don't want to bring it onto right number now. Four, but like...
But I understand. That's a weird thing to do.
And we'll get to four when we come to it, obviously.
We'll get to four. This has been incredible. This has been bloody incredible.
Should I go first? I will.
Please give me the...
9.5 nugs out of 10.
Hey, mate, I think we're in a bit of an agreement here. 9.5 nugs out of 10 from me as well. And before we leave, I just want to say next week, yes, we're having a bit of a break from the Toy Story because this is the original trilogy. We are going to throw in a bit of a crazy movie. Then we'll get back into Toy Story 4 and Lightyear. See you later.
This is the end of the episode. Thank you for listening to the Butts to Nuts podcast.
If you enjoyed the podcast and want to support us, you can do any number of these three things.
Number one.
Tell a friend, a family member, or even a random person off the street to listen to our podcast.
Number two.
Leave a review. The higher the better.
Number three.
Follow and support us on our social media platforms, being Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, all with the usernames Butts to Nuts.
Again, thank you for listening. See you next week.